and teaches our younger congregation members and men from the congregation, lay people and others, have an opportunity to share with them a devotional sermon or whatever is on their heart that the Lord has brought to them. This evening, Jeff Lauder will be bringing our devotional. Jeff?
Ever get used to these things?
Boy. Good evening. I'm your devotionalist for the evening. I am not a preacher, but I am a imperfect person. So luckily for me, God has a history of using imperfect people. So last week we prayed. I've been working on a roof here. I prayed that, you know, for safety and for the rain to keep away. Well, I've gotten those. Thankful for those. I should ask it. Maybe not quite so hot, but anyways, most of the day, like half the house is in the shade, and then the other half of the day, the other half is in the shade. So at least, you know, God is good that way. He gives me shade throughout the day, so I don't have to be in the roasting sun. But it's still pretty warm. But anyways. I'm talking about prayer and fasting tonight. Ooh, that's right. The importance of prayer and how fasting can enhance your prayer time. Oh no, not fasting. Can't we just pray fast? You can. I know some people that do that, but people like to eat. You got to eat. Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. Some people have been working pretty hard here, so I've been working kind of hard myself here lately. So Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. The government says you don't work, don't worry, we'll feed you. But that's another topic here. But first prayer. We know Jesus prayed and he fasted. We know Matthew 6, 5 through 15. He taught people, he taught his disciples how to pray. He gave us the model prayer. We know that we ask things in Jesus' name. We get that from John 14, verses 13 and 14. He tells us that we can pray in secret. That's a little bit different. We come here Wednesday night to pray together. But generally, you pray in secret. You go into your closet and you can pray. So what do you pray for? Well, whatever your needs be, whatever your needs are, other people's needs. You can pray for healing, wisdom, comfort, direction. No matter how big or how small your prayer is. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory." I don't understand why more people don't come to Wednesday night and pray or get prayed for. I've had multiple prayers answered here. Something as simple as a lost credit card. I couldn't find it for probably like 2 weeks. I said, well, before I cancel it, I'll bring it to prayer. So we prayed for it, and the very next day, my wife calls me and says, "Hey, guess what I found?" I mean, it's simple, but that's answered prayer. I've had something a little more serious. Without going into too much detail, I had a body part that was swollen and pretty uncomfortable. I went to the doctor. That was probably, I think that was a Monday or maybe a Tuesday, and he looked and he goes, "Oh yeah, you're gonna need surgery for sure." So he referred me to a specialist. The appointment was Friday, so I said, well, we'll go to prayer Wednesday night. So I announced it and we prayed. I went to the doctors. They got there Friday. The specialist, he takes a look and he goes, "I don't see anything around here." everything's fine here. Answer prayer. So, I mean, James 5:13 through 16. I got to get my notes out here. I'm an amateur here. Bear with me. James 5:13 through 16 says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Effectual, that's effective, fervent, supplicative, everything with prayer and supplication. Now, supplication is petitioning. One humbly asks another to provide something for you or for somebody else. So I'm pretty sure we have some effectual, fervent people around here, because there's some prayer getting answered. Now it says, "Of a righteous man availeth much," but that women, take it easy. You fall under that category too. Women of man, you're covered there. So we have some righteous men and some righteous women around here. I think there's evidence of that. Let's see here. Proverbs 15:8, "The prayer of the upright is the Lord's delight." The Lord hears, loves to hear from the upright and the righteous. We come and we pray here Wednesday night, Matthew 18, verses 19 through 20. I got to turn that. Let's turn to that real quick and look at that. Matthew 18, verses 19 through 20. I want to make sure I get that right. Verses 19 and 20. "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." So we obviously have two or more gathered here. We sing praises unto the Lord. The Lord loves that. We have, I truly believe the Lord's presence is greater here. Yes, the Lord is with you wherever you go. I believe this is God's house, and his presence is greater here. So when we get multiple people together, and they pray, and they agree on the thing, you're going to get results. Now, let's see. Some reasons maybe for not getting answered prayer. James 1:6. "Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering or doubting. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." So your faith needs to be strong to have answered prayer. Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Verse 2, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." The elders got a good report for their faith. What else do I hear? James 4, 2 and 3. Let me see what that is. Some reasons why maybe your prayer is not getting answered. James 4, 2 and 3, it says, "Ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." So asking for wrong things, you're not going to get those answered. Sin, unconfessed sin, strife, lack of faith. 1 John 1:9. Before you go to prayer, you need to get your sins confessed up. 1 John 1:9, "For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I know that verse good. I hate to say it, but I know that verse. Psalm 32, verse 5 and 6. What do I have there? the psalmist says, I acknowledge my sin. And everyone that is godly, pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Well, the Lord can be found here tonight. So sometimes the answer to prayer is yes. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's not now. Or is God maybe trying to change something in you? Trying to improve you? Or is it like a thorn? Like Paul in 2 Corinthians, he's got the thorn in his side. He prayed 3 times for it to go away, but the Lord wouldn't take it away. Sometimes you get that. Which brings me to fasting. So what is fasting and what is it good for? Fasting is considered depriving yourself from eating, depriving yourself from nutrients for a given length of time. Fasting came about in the Old Testament. It was prescribed under the Mosaic Law in connection with the Day of Atonement, usually at least 24 hours. I read somewhere sundown to sundown refers to afflicting one's soul, making yourself weak to get more of the spirit, a little less flesh, a little more spirit, a little closer to God. Psalm 35:13. Psalmist is referring to humbling his soul. David, he humbled his soul with fasting and prayer in a time of distress. 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul says, for when I am weak, he is strong. Psalm 109:24. What do I have there? The psalmist is referring to his knees were weak from fasting. So you're kind of making yourself weak in the flesh so you can get more of the spirit. Some results of fasting: heavy burdens can be lifted, wisdom can be obtained, revival, God's protection. Or recovery of a sick loved one. Let's see here. Turn to Matthew 17, verses 20 and 21. Matthew 17, verses 20 and 21. This is the mustard seed verse here. This is referring to the disciples were trying to cast out a devil from a child. They couldn't do it, and they went to Jesus. They asked him why. Jesus said to him, verse 20, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind of faith goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So prayer and fasting can enhance or strengthen your prayer or strengthen your faith. If you got some issues, I fasted recently, not too long ago. Well, when Pastor asked me to do this, I took it pretty seriously, so I fasted a bit, and I asked the Lord to show me some things wrong, and you get what you ask for. So the Lord was pretty firm about some things I needed to fix and I needed to change. So God will show you. Married couples, if you've got some issues or you want to strengthen your marriage, work on something, 1 Corinthians 7:5 is referring to fasting with married couples. Let me look at that real quick there. 1 Corinthians 7:5. 1 Corinthians 7:5. It says, defraud or deprive ye not one the other, except be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency or your lack of self-control. So Jesus is teaching, or not Jesus, but whoever wrote this, Paul, I think, is teaching that you can married couples can fast and pray to work out issues. Let's see here. Now, I understand that not everybody can fast. People have medical issues, taking medications, working, multiple reasons. But if you're generally a healthy person, you can try a little bit at a time. You won't die. The more you do it, the more you get used to it, and the easier it becomes. And you can do a little at a time, just go, you know, whatever. 4 hours might be a stretch for some people, 6 hours, 8 hours, 12 hours. You can go quite a while without eating and be fine. I think Jesus fasted for some 40 days. I couldn't imagine that. I think 24 hours is the most I've done. But you have to drink water. You have to drink some water, or else you'll die. Usually within 2 to 3 days without, if you don't drink water. Water's pretty important. H2O. Two atoms of hydrogen covalently bonded to an atom of oxygen. Right, Lindsay? Covalent bonding is referring to a what of electrons? Whoa, you're very good. Chemistry student there. So I got a joke for you. Anyways. A proton decides he's going to take an airplane trip. So he boards the plane. The stewardess says to the proton, do you have any bags that you'll be checking today? The proton says, no, I'm traveling light. All right, enough nerd talk for one time here. Sorry, I had to get that out. There's a time for everything. So anyways, Jesus teaches on fasting in Matthew, chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. You know, again, he says, do it in secret. Don't walk around like you're dying, you know, like it's grieving. You don't have to tell people you're fasting. You just do it, and your Father will reward you. Fasting takes discipline. The more you do it, the easier it gets. And the added benefit is you can lose a few pounds. It works. So fasting can be a way of enhancing or boosting your prayer time. And again, as Ecclesiastes 3:1, there is a season and a purpose for every time under the heaven. Have been. Thank you. That's what I have there.